Ricky Wong first, and I'd Ricky Wong about plate first of all. I think maybe when you start off writing poetry, you start almost at the beginning and you start looking at your childhood and where you're from. And I'm from Dublin, West Dublin, but I live in East Galway. But this first poem here is about, well, it's about a holiday in Donegal. Like went wrong. It's called And What Did We See? And what did we see? A raft of dulled ivies lining the streets of Knock, hollow virgins, outsized rosaries and bakelite things, gaudy enough for any pound shop. A thorn's worth of black bulls lumbering across a hill near Garton Bridge, their horns glinting like crescent moons through the drizzle shortly after we crashed the car. A tangle of bulls stewed along the harbour in Killybegs, and the combed flank of Ben Bolden, punched above Sligo Town, and Yates cold in his grave. Although reading one person said every poet must have a Yates poem. That's one of my two Yates poems. Please clap after every poem you hear on it. This other one has to do with place in the sense that it's one of my Galway poems. And I wrote it after reading a book called The Women of Galway Jail, a very, very interesting book which came out from the same publisher that brought out this book, by a woman called Geraldine Curtin. And she basically went through the archives and found all the photographs and stories of the women who were in Galway Jail, and she, you don't learn the women's surnames, you just learn their first name and for the letter then for their surname. So this one is called Bridget F, Inmate, Galway Jail. 1880. I was hungry, so I set traps at dusk for the hares that lie in shallow beds around the corral. I caught one, sliced her pale belly, and outplopped a sack of leverets, small and slippy. The magistrate asked if I'd enjoyed my meal. 1883. In the courtroom, they said that I had a bad character, called me a girl of ill fame. They put my palms across my chest like a corpse and took a picture. The photographer said that my 44 years hung heavy on me. 1885. The jailer called me a strumpet and took away my bonnet and shawl. I unteethed ropes until my fingers bled and thought of sailors I had once known. And the small drop that warms the gut. In the evenings they fed us with buttermilk, potatoes, beef. For a lot of the women, it was better to be in jail than outside it, which is probably still true for a lot of people today. And another Galway poem. I wrote this poem after reading a poem by the American poet Campbell McGrath, and his poem is called Sunset, Route 90, Brewster County, Texas. Let's just see what page this is on, sorry. And my poem is called Rain Cloud, N6, Rockwell, Galway. If anybody have ever driven between, say, Loughrea and Galway City, you'll have noticed when you drive through Rockwell that it's always very wet. It just seems to be a permanent rain cloud over Rockwell, as far as I can see. Now an anvil-shaped cloud is cow-eye blue and silver, falling grey and water-sodden, celestial green and Atlantic aqua, Connemara mountain white, Manturk blue, John Deere and Wheelie Bend blue, true, blue of the heavy heart, blue of mist-hovering tarmac, motorway sign blue, the blue of headstones leaning in a tidy graveyard, skin and eye blue, bruise and corpse blue, blue anvil morphing to a mushroom cloud with a flat plateau, spreading to spill its load over already softened Crockwell, over the blue of Our Lady of Knock, blue of the Virgin of Hares, Virgin of Elections, Virgin of Petrol and Oak Tree, Virgin of Motorist and School Teacher, Virgin of Artist and Mother, Virgin of Loneliness, Virgin of Rain. This poem is set in Galway as well. Another one. One of my unfortunate days. This wasn't a car crash. This was me crashing onto the ground on St. Patrick's Day, and I hadn't been drinking. St. Patrick's Day, Galway. Two tame as a lapdog elephants marched their own private parade across Quincentennial Bridge, their keepers suited and smiling. I buy a moonstone to balance my raging yin and yang, try to sidestep splats of piss and vomit the gaggles of green-clad drunks. A footpath slaps up to meet me, my sober steps none too careful. Kneecaps and pride dented, I joke ruefully with the ambulance crew. I don't know if you've noticed, but we get a lot of weather in Galway. My son was two when we moved to Galway, and even as a two-year-old, he was able to see and to complain that it rained so much in Galway, it never stops raining in Galway. We lived in Galway City first, which is even worse. The weather East Galway. A whale cloud swims over Ballinasloe, baleen hanging in chalky strips. It drips fat drops from Brackernock to the house. 2. Mallards arse dive in the tea-coloured suck, like teenage boys let live since summer. Fog eats up the trees on the bank. 3. Hubcap leaves scuttle along Society Street. The Virgin Mary gentles over Bully's Acre, petals with plastic raindrops at her feet. 4. A swan family jets over a snowy ensign. They are white arrows against zinc. One is the seventh signet of a seventh swan. Frida Kahlo visits Ballinasloe. Frida Kahlo likes to walk in colour, but she is hard pushed on Society Street. We wander together up Sarsfield Road. Where's all the yellow, she asks, the red? Frida, in a floral dress and Mexican silver, draws a tidings of magpies from the sky. No parrots, she says, no hibiscus. Clouds part, a triangle of blue pleases her. Then she sees a scarlet Massey Ferguson. Yew berries spilled like beads on the footpath. A woman in a crimson coat and man's shoes. A King Charles with a postcard Collins curl. Tail lights like alien eyes spinning to a hasper. Viva la vida, says unflinching Frida, painter of pain. She sings the reds of Sarsfield Road, and they bleed into the veins of the town, pulsing its grey. Sometimes you pick poems to read, and then when it comes to reading them, you don't want to read them. Especially when they involve a bit of French, and your French is a bit schoolgirlish. You've all heard of a flaneur. A flaneur is French, but doesn't have to be a French man, but it's a man who walks around taking things in, you know, enjoying what he sees. So I thought I would write about a flaneur. This one is from Portrait of the Artist with a red card. Flanders. On Rue Mouffetard. In a tat and toy shop, I buy a Tour Eiffel snow shaker. The snow is blue glitter, the tower is the blood black rouge. In the Pompidou. Menace licks around corners here like a misogynist chunk. A Buddha trails his intestines into the beaks of birds of prey. On the metro. A man from Aix-en-Provence tells me I'm pretty, like Emile Nolde's wife. He says he's had enough of this city. He's off home to press olives. At the Musée Carnavalet. Each transposed interior is manned by a bored-faced, uniformed woman. The Louis 15 room held women once who were powdered and iced like cakes. On the train, I am startled by a man who fast paces the carriage, thumps the walls and screams, Monsieur, oh la la, maman. A lot of the poems I've written in the last few years have been to do with fertility. Fertility problems and issues and having babies and all of that being one of my preoccupations. And I think, well, for me as a poet, most of my poetry is about my personal passions and interests, and poetry being a sort of a personal form. So I do look in, but I also look out. There's a friend of mine who read here recently in January, Orla Foyle, and we did a project together. We were both kind of just looking for something extra, I suppose, to add to our writing. So we started this thing, we agreed together beforehand that we would send each other postcards. So if you saw a postcard you liked, you would buy two copies. And then we send the other one to the other, and you have to each write a poem based on the image of the postcard. So this is one of the poems that came out of that collaboration. And it's called An Unlucky Woman. I will pluck charms, dangle them from my neck and the headboard, rose quartz beads and a silver turtle, a shield and a gate with gaping lips. I will visit the rag tree at Comfort, pin a baby soother to its trunk, carry a discreet pouch of hazelnuts, slip two gilded fish under our bed. I will wear a St. Gerard scapular, the kind of thing that drips miracles, and just maybe this army of amulets will make my body do what it won't. Myself and Matthew, Sweeney, who's sitting there, were invited to a poker show in Karlsruhe in Germany a few years ago to read. Ireland was the guest nation, I suppose, so they were sort of showcasing Ireland and Irish poets, and we both had the privilege of going over. And when we were over there, I saw this woman wheeling a pram with a doll in it, and I wrote a poem about her. She was quite disturbing. called the poem Die Kinder, which means the children in German. What loss has brought her to this? The woman who pushes a pram holding a child-sized doll, its face startled and staring. The woman wheels the pram around the streets of Karlsruhe, her non-child propped as a sign maybe of a never-filled womb, or a baby snatched by death or circumstance. She looks pained but vacant, the perfect mother to imperfect offspring, sprung from plastic, rubber and glue. My hard-won baby is womb-bound, safe under skin, blood and amniotic space. The woman holds tight to the handles. She surveys the Christmas market with a face worn raw from worry. I watch her and thank God for a trio of gifts, my sanity, my luck, my fertility. There's a lovely art gallery in Karlsruhe. Wherever I go, I always like to go to the Museum of Modern Art, so I really enjoyed this place. And in there was a painting called Die Schwangere, which is the German for the pregnant person, I suppose, it means the pregnant woman. I just loved the way the German word is one word that, you know, which encloses the two, which is very beautiful. So I wrote this poem after being there as well. And because I was pregnant while I was there, I wasn't imbibing what the other poets were. Die Schwangere, and I subtitled it Pregnant in Karlsruhe. The other poets drink Damson schnapps from thistlehead glasses. My baby flicker kicks with all 5 ounces of her weight, with all 4 inches of her length. I dream her hand pipping from the egg of my belly like a wing through shell. I hold her embryonic fingers, thrilling at her light touch. Delighting in my blooming belly, I feel my nestled passenger. She flicks and settles and kicks. Her cells gather, graceful as an origami swan in perfect folds and refolds. imperfect folds and refolds her cells gather. Graceful as an origami swan, she flicks and settles and kicks. I feel my nestled passenger delighting in my blooming belly. Thrilling at her light touch, I hold her embryonic fingers like a wing through shell. Pipping from the egg of my belly, I dream her hand. With all 4 inches of her length, with all 5 ounces of her weight, my baby flicker kicks. From thistle head glasses, the other poets strip dams and shots. We have a lot of very interesting poets in this country, not least in Cork, where I think the variety of poets is kind of astounding for a group of poets that actually seem to stick together a lot and support each other. And I just love the way they all write in very diverse ways. And one of the poets that I would like, not from Cork, but from Mayo, but based in Dublin, I think, is Paul Durkin. So I wrote this poem about Paul Durkin. Even though the only time I actually met him, I kind of muttered, "I like your poetry." Very shyly, and he just nodded sagely. Anyway, this is Dancing with Paul Durkin. And the Winding Stair is a bookshop in Dublin, in case you don't know. I saw Paul Durkin in the Winding Stair, fingering a book of love sonnets. "Paul," I said, "your poetry is filthy with longing." He said, "Would you like to dance?" So breast to chest, we turned a Durkin-esque polka of long poems and harum-scarum happenings around the book stacks. And oh, the heft of them. "I won't be falling in love with you," I said. "That's okay," Paul murmured. "Love's not looking for me at the moment. We've fallen out." Our bodies collided into man-woman as we swung. Our clothes and skin sewn into each other. Our legs a kicking chorus of dance, dance, dance. Paul spun me down the winding stairs, up across the bow of the Hackney Bridge, and spinning together, all our pages flew. This poem actually was inspired by Cork's English Market. Maybe you know the butcher in question. Flirt. He speaks butcherese to me, all rump and breast and heart, while his fingers fumble among brisheen and tongue, searching for a choice cut or a little sweetmeat to tempt me. He sways in a blood-stiff apron, tips his mesh trilby coyly. I gaze at a pink china pig that stands frozen among crew beans and puke slivers, a grove of plastic parsley. I refuse to mince words. A bag of breadcrumbs sings. On my way out, I tow graffiti into the sawdust. I heart tofu. Then flick a glance his way. He cuts me with his eyes. I hate going to the hairdresser, and I'll go once, maybe twice a year, just out of necessity, but I hate it. And my mother's the same, and my sister's the same. It's just the pain of being poked at and looked at and talked to. I just don't like it. So this is a recent hairdressing experience. It's called La Reine, which is the French for the Queen. The smells are all drain and hot scalp. My stylist installed me in front of a mirror, combed in silence with lunatic ferocity. For others, her mouth is as big as Galway Bay. We, it seems, don't share a language. My hair falls to the floor in wet apostrophes. The stylist pushes me under the hood. Part crown, part throne, it is called La Reine. I sit, Marie Antoinette, head burning. My plan, however, is to get out alive. I want to read some love poems now. First one is called Portrait. It's called "Oh God for Extraordinary Life." And "Oh No Bad" usually takes place at dawn. The poetic poem that takes place at dawn. In the afterglow, I watch your bear-like doze, snout tucked under one tattooed arm. dawn starts its chorus, needing a witness. So I part the curtains and see a crow toss its wings into a hero's cloak before skydiving from phone wires. A cloud hangs like a balloon on a contrail string. You father and mother me, sister and brother me, though our heat and fervor don't talk of that. No, it's not our nights that say all about us, but our days and our nights. The hours dwindled in the ordinary sharing and partings of life. A dinner made together, lunches packed in school bags, bedtime stories read. The call of each Monday morning that sees you bound for the train, me to my desk. All around it are love hovers, rich and sure as honey lifted from the beef-word heart of a sunflower. This one is from the new collection. I have a few poems set in New York in it. I went to New York for the first time 4 years ago and just fell in love with the place. I think like most people do. And I've been trying to get back there every year since. Haven't managed it. We got married there last year actually. It was brilliant. Going back to the gym. Thank you. Going back this year now as well. Saving all our little things. This one is called Valentine's Day. In our hotel on Lexington Avenue, our bodies call to each other across the bed. The Chrysler building dips to our window, lit up like a satisfied boiler, while sirens serenade from the East River, answering the sounds on the streets. Fire trucks, patrol cars, trash cans, the catcalls of crows and pimps. Air gushes up from subway grates, wraps comfort around the needy. Below us, the ghosts of Turtle Bay Castle shuffle in their slaughterhouse pens. We steal heat through our skins, safe from the wind that hurtles up the island. And this is another New York one. I bought a painting from my husband for his 40th birthday on the internet, on Etsy. I don't know if you're familiar with Etsy, and that's a super insight of crafts and painting. And a lot of the people who put their stuff up there are American, so this painting came from America. It's called Under This Painting We Sleep. In the painting over our bed, the flat iron is purple and phallic. It squats steadfast, not moving. It is you. And I am the pink skyscraper that looms in the corner of the canvas, domineering and watchful, wanting to be all of Manhattan. We are reaching, both of us, into a yolk-yellow sky, reaching for the plate of the moon that has flung over Madison Square. And the clouds are like Irish clouds, so near to the city they are part of it. They creep across our rooftops, skimming water towers like a blessing. Below us, in our bed, we sleep. I'm reading another love poem here. It's the title poem from Tattoo, and almost half of this book is dual language, so the poems are in Irish and in English. Some of them I wrote in Irish and translated into English. Most of them were written in English and subsequently translated into Irish. So I might read the Irish first, just so you can hear the contrast between the two. It's called Tattoo in both languages. Tattoo. Is palimpsest mochurp with a lava, papir orsa scolia flows at tmula the real. Glonum mchrecken, sturum shireg a par bota, on a skabuki the lav marhup tatuala, iglinius carlinta da ek a gach fiorella, il fac a tussa scrabata er mochurp. Tattoo. My body is a palimpsest under your hands, a papyrus scroll unfurled beneath you, waiting for your mark. I clean my skin, scrape it back to a pale parchment, so that your touch can sink as deep as the tattooist's ink and leave its tracery over the erased lines of other men. You are all that's written on my body. I want to finish with a couple of new poems. These ones are from the Juno Charm, the book that's coming out from Salmon in November. remaining of, I don't know how many months to November. I have to finish the manuscript and send it in, so it's gone now. It's out of my hands, which is kind of nice feeling. Kind of scary too, because you're starting all over again. Slightly obsessed with tattoos. This is one of the things that occurs in my work a lot, in my fiction and in my poetry. I like tattoos. So I saw it. I live in Ballinasloe. I think I told you that. It's a really boring market town in East Galway. Probably the greatest place you'd ever be. Which actually is a nice place for a writer to live because there's no distractions. So you can get a lot of work done. Well, that's not fair, really, because I am in an artist collective there, but they're mostly visual artists. Anyway, I was in the post office when this man came in. But this is the story of the man. And there's a nod to Yeats again in the title, called The Cat and the Man. Yeats had a poem called The Cat and the Man. Today, a white cat, clean as new paper, put across my path. In the post office, a man wore tattoos as easy as clothing. Wings on his nape, the better to fly. Green clover under his ear for good fortune. A quaver on his neck to keep him sane, and the name Gretchen to remind him to love. His buzz cut and checkerboard runners were pedestrian, but his skin glowed in that queue of farmers and housewives. He was his only canvas, a heart sleeve of obsession. I wanted to unbutton his shirt to see what was inked on the throat of his wrist, his chest, his back, to read the whole of his story. A lot of female poets I admire, and Sylvia Plath is one of them. I don't like the only thing she's remembered for is killing herself, because she was a very fine poet. It actually annoys me that people don't go on about Hemingway has killed himself, and you know, and he's the most famous thing he did, so they go on about his writing. Something about women who kill themselves that excites this kind of reaction, I think, anyway. Having kind of been reading her quite closely for the last couple of years and reading a couple of biographies of her, then I found her sort of influencing her with writing. So just plath all over this poem. It's called Monthly. Tonight the moon is plastic. She punches a hole in the sky, a pearl dropped in ink. The moon is not my mother, but her old face cries out as she pulls on me like a sea slug. She pushes clouds down to earth. They smother my peace, crush me. This is her monthly curse. I can curse her too. Knuckle moon, skull moon, you will soon wane, but my mind will settle back into my body. I'm going to finish up with a poem for my daughter. It's called Peabody, and the only real reference I've ever found to the word Peabody is the reference to Flannery O'Connor, who is a great American writer of short stories, and she kept peacocks. It was one of her things that she loved. And when I read about this, she called the peahens peabiddies, and I thought it was a normal word, but I actually think it was a Flannery O'Connorism, but I can't find it anywhere else. So I called the poem Peabody for Juno at 18 months. The flaps opened and out you popped, Biddy in the box. One wing raised in a superheroine salute. We put you there, cock and hen, rattling feathers and shrieking softly under canvas in a midland field. You are Emerald Peabody, the actual fact of your monstrous pride, as we watch amazed at your evolution. How you stomp on sturdy legs and perfect your calls, the EL of your tribe, the vowels and consonants of ours. Safe passage. We cannot fly with you, but our nest will always be here, and we can guarantee a soft landing. Thanks very much.